Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9.5 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, March the 11th. I took the book that we will be talking about this hour, Does This Clutter Make My Butt Look Fat?, to the beauty parlor yesterday afternoon. I had an appointment to get my hair done, and I thought I would spend the time reading something worthwhile, doing some homework instead of reading People magazine. I couldn't get a lot of reading done, though, because a number of people there had to comment on the title and had to ask, what is the connection between clutter and my butt looking fat? Or is there a link between clutter and our weight? Or they had seen my guest on the Oprah Winfrey Show talking about the subject of clutter and our weight. Well, we'll talk about the subject this hour, and we will welcome your thoughts, your questions, and maybe even your experiences as we talk about the connection between those of us who tend to accumulate too much stuff and have too much clutter in our lives, our homes, and our offices, the tendency that those of us who have too much stuff to also accumulate extra weight. What's the connection? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Do you buy this premise that people with too much clutter also might have too much extra weight? Maybe you even know someone who's in this situation. We'd like to hear from you. Our guest is Peter Walsh. He's an organization expert, a radio host on a national weekly radio program, a regular on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and the author of several books, including his latest, Does This Clutter Make My Butt Look Fat? He joins us by telephone. Good morning.
I am so horrified that I destroyed your beauty parlor trip yesterday, Joy.
You didn't destroy it at all. It was fun to see how many people were interested.
Well, I just hope that the woman, the colorist, or the person who was doing the cut or whatever was focused. I mean, the last thing I need is to be held responsible for the hairstyle of a host on NPR.
There we go. But I did get some of the reading done, and it was interesting to know there's a lot of people who... I guess they related to this.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've been working for many, many years, as you said in the introduction, in helping people declutter their homes. And I think that's kind of where I've made my name in really working on what I'd call the problem with consumption in this country, where, you know, we're really caught into this idea that that more is better. And so many people that I work with fill their homes with stuff and then suddenly realize that the stuff is not really delivering on the promise to make them happy. And it's very interesting to me that the focus of my work became very early on not so much the stuff but the underlying issues, because very seldom is clutter about the stuff. It's generally about trauma or fear, wanting to control. It's about a whole lot of other issues. Mm-hmm. And so when it's kind of the broader question that when you help people really get their lives in order and get their stuff in order, there is a very strong ripple effect through the rest of their lives.
Yeah. So what sorts of underlying issues that would cause some of us to accumulate clutter would also cause some of us to overeat and be overweight?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and I really need, I need to kind of clarify something that you said up front, mm-hmm. and that is that I am not saying, and I really need to be strong about this, I am not saying that if you are cluttered, you will have a weight problem, mm-hmm. or if you struggle with weight, you will have a clutter problem. I am not, it's not that simple. But what I am saying is that it is very, very tough, in fact, impossible, I believe, to make healthy choices, the best choices around your health or your food or your nutrition in a cluttered, messy, disorganized home. You just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the same way that if you focus on the stuff, when you try to get organized. If you focus on the stuff, you will never get organized. In my experience, if you focus on food in trying to lose weight, it simply doesn't happen.
Yeah. So there is this issue that some of us, and I'm one of them, though I watch my weight now and did lose a considerable amount of weight some 5 years ago, that I think a lot of us would eat food, we'd have emotional triggers, and we'd eat food to be, you know, to be happy, or you know, eat food when we're sad because we think it'll make us happy.
Well, listen, let's expand that out a little bit for a second. And here's where the correlation started for me. Why do we go and buy stuff? You know, often it's to reward ourselves, to make ourselves feel good, as a response to a crappy day at work, you know, as a response to a great day at work. You know, the reason we buy stuff is for a whole range of reasons, and they are not so different to the reasons why we go to food at different times, not just for sustenance, but to deal with loneliness or happiness or boredom or fear or anger or reward or the need for comfort. And so what happened when I helped people declutter their homes was that at the end of that process, they would say, I feel so much lighter. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's obviously metaphorical. But what also happened was that once they cleared the stuff from their homes and were able to focus on the kind of life they wanted, and that's the focus of my work, what they were then able to do was to look at their food choices and start making much better choices around the food they ate. And they also created an environment in their home where their food choices were much healthier. And so part of the ripple effect of decluttering their homes and clearing their spaces was to create a space that really, truly nourished their family. And so what I am saying in the book is, if you're one of the 46 million Americans a year who try a diet and fall off the wagon, or try a diet and then gain that weight and more back, just stop focusing on the food for a moment and try just decluttering your home and creating a kitchen that nourishes your family in the way it really should.
Yeah. And we should also make it clear, and you do in the book, you're not a doctor. This is not a diet book. This is you're not going to find recipes or.
That's right. What I say is I'm not an ist. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not an exercise physiologist. I'm not an internist. But what I am is the guy who's worked with hundreds, if not thousands, of people to get their lives back on track and their relationship with their stuff in order. And I've seen again and again what I said earlier, that you cannot make the best choices for you and your family in cluttered, messy, disorganized houses. And that should be the starting point.
Yeah. We talked once before after your last book.
That's right, I remember, yeah.
Yeah, and it really was, because you're an organization expert, but you're also part therapist.
Yeah, you know, I'm not, I have a master's in education with a specialty in ed psych, but, you know, I am not a therapist or a psychologist. I'm very keen to say this. But here's the deal. What I do is 95-98% good old common sense. And I really believe that. And look, here's the measure. Here's the measure if you're not convinced of what I'm saying. Go into your kitchen and have a look at your kitchen today, now, and then ask yourself this question. If you went out to a restaurant and the kitchen in the restaurant that you went to looked like the kitchen in your house... You know where I'm going.
Yes.
Would you eat at that restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer is no, then what on earth is going on in the kitchen in your home?
Well, we will ponder that as we ask listeners to join us. If you have questions about clutter and our weight and the underlying issues between the two. Does this clutter make my butt look fat? The name of our guest's book. He is Peter Walsh, author of many books, including It's All Too Much, We talked with him when that book came out, a year or so ago. Now talking about how if we declutter, it might help us lose weight. 1-800-642-1234. Do you buy this? Do you have any questions about this? 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Very happy to have you with us. Hope you stay tuned. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. Imagine having no home to go to at the end of the day and feeling like no one cares that you're living in the streets or in a shelter or have no permanent address. After 5, Ben explores how the homeless in Wisconsin suffer and survive. That's coming up later today after 5. Right now, we're talking with Peter Walsh. He's an organization expert, a radio host on a national weekly radio program, a regular on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and the author of many books, including his latest, Does This Clutter Make My Butt Look Fat?, which talks about how the tendency that some of us have to accumulate stuff or possessions can also apply to food in certain ways, and he has strategies to declutter our lives and help some of us lose weight. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You ask us to start, Peter Walsh, by defining the life we want and picturing the ideal you. And you're really mean. You want us to dance in front of a video camera.
See, if you've seen me on TV, you know that I can be fairly hard-nosed. But there's also a slight tongue-in-cheek aspect. And, you know, one of the things I put in the book was something that a friend actually suggested, that they had her and her husband were talking about the weight they had gained, and they decided they'd have a reality check. And so they actually stripped off their clothes and set up a video camera and did jumping jacks in front of a video camera. And he was so mortified by what he saw, he immediately destroyed the videotape for fear that it might find its way onto the internet. And I put that in the book, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's like, here's a reality check. But here's the kicker for that there is actually a couple of websites online now who have blogs that have quoted that, you know, as the main suggestion in the book. And from that, they've extrapolated to the idea that the book is basically written by the devil.
Oh, it certainly isn't the only idea in the book. I just couldn't imagine. You know what? I can say that I don't have a video camera because I didn't accumulate that piece of equipment. So
I think for me, it comes back to that at some stage we have to be real about our weight and our bodies. And part of the book says, look, instead of being caught into this whole thing about the body beautiful and the focus on the scale and all of that, don't start there. Start first with, just tell me, and this is what I do when I help people declutter, tell me the kind of life you want. Tell me the kind of body you want. Tell me what you want from your body. And if you're carrying a few extra pounds, then, but you're happy and contented with that, good for you. You know, good for you. Just be happy. That's what it comes back to. But if you're obsessing about a few extra pounds and it's completely occupying your time and driving you nuts, then maybe, just maybe, you're focused in the wrong area and putting your energies to the wrong place. Like, get real about what our body should be.
Yeah. So should we start with decluttering our kitchen?
Yeah, look, that's certainly my belief. I believe that the two main rooms in the house are the master bedroom and the kitchen. The master bedroom drives the house, drives the mood, the focus of the home, I believe, because that is where you and your partner are most intimate and share most closely. And then I believe the kitchen is critical because it's the home that, it's the room that nourishes the family. And it comes back to, what do you want from your kitchen? What do you want from that meal experience? You know, in my family growing up, it was laughter, closeness, sharing, you know, learning respect, learning to value each other's presence and opinion, as well as just eating. And if your kitchen is not nourishing your family in the broadest sense of the word, where is your family getting nourishment from? That's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that. Let me get in a couple of callers there.
Great.
Jan in Gurnee, Illinois. Hi, Jan. You're on the air.
Hi. I've seen you on Oprah's show, and I've seen some other people Oprah's had on that were pack rats. And I also grew up with one. I came to live with my mother after being raised by other relatives who were not that way. So I had the contrast, and I also had the total care of the laundry and the house and everything else from the age of 14 because she just didn't. She was a tremendous woman in every other way. So the observations I've had is that he's right on, because the people that I've known that have been clutterers are always pack rats, and it seems to me that they don't feel like they have a handle or any control over much of their life, and so they're depressed. There's an element of depression that enters into this, so they have less energy. They don't get around to doing anything on the house. They can't find things that they've had already, so they go out and buy more, and consequently, they look around them, and the only thing they have energy to do is to sit there and watch TV and eat. And this, I mean, I've seen this, and I'm not Holly Homemaker. My house is not pristine, but I'm not a clutterer. Mm-hmm. But I have to say that I do think that the depression element really enters into this, even to people that may manifest, you know, a jolly personality. I think the whole thing is a mask.
Yeah. You've seen this too, Peter Walsh.
Yeah, it's interesting. Jan makes a great point, and that is that, you know, at the base level, it's a really complex issue, and I don't want to be seen to be kind of, you know, minimizing it or oversimplifying it. But here's what I see. Number one, if you have gotten to a place in your life where you are not caring for your home, then it is very possible that you are also not caring for yourself, not caring for your body, not making the best choices. And as I said, you know, Jan said she saw me on the Oprah show, you know, the point I made there, and I really stand by it, your home, your head, your heart, and your hips are all connected. Mm. And if one is out of whack, if one is not in order, then it is very, very possible that the others also will not be in order. And so there's clearly not cause and effect here. I'm not saying that. But I have seen again and again such a correlation between the way we look after our houses and our consumption of stuff with the way we look after our bodies and the consumption of food.
Your home, your head, your heart, your hips.
Yep, all connected.
Janine from Green Bay sends an email saying, but I like antiques. What's the difference between clutter and bad clutter?
Okay, look, that moves into the area of what I call collectibles. And it ties into this as well. Because you have a whole lot of things that are the same does not make what you have a collection. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm really hard-nosed about this. What makes a collection or what makes what you have important is the way that you honor and respect it. And if you do not honor and respect what you own, then do not tell me that it's important to you. I don't believe you. Because there is such a disconnect. And so whatever you have in your home should be there because it is there to help you create the life you want. That's what it comes back to. And if the stuff in your house isn't helping you create the life you want, what's it doing in your house? So with food, go to your kitchen, look at your kitchen. Does what's in your pantry, does what's in your refrigerator, does the look of your kitchen, does what's in your cupboards help you create the life, the body, the nutrition that you want for your family? And if it does, great. And if it doesn't, what in God's name is it doing in your house?
T Terry in Milwaukee joins us next. Hi, Terry.
Hi there. Mm. First of all, thanks for taking my call. And I've also seen bits of Peter on Oprah.
The nice bits, I hope.
Yeah, well, yeah, the good parts.
Okay. What's the question, Terry?
I guess, well, first of all, I want to say I'm glad that you said this is a complicated issue.
Sure.
And it's not necessarily cause and effect. Because I don't agree with the caller that everyone has a depression element, because I'm a pack rat.
Yep.
And I think I was inbred that way.
Sure.
But I don't think I have a depression element to it. And also in terms of the physical aspect, I happen to be thin. I think, again, I just happen to be graced with that body type.
Yeah.
And actually, I need to hurry up because I'm going to be late for my exercise class
okay.
if I don't hang up. But so I make healthy choices that way, and I think I make pretty good healthy choices for my family. But something that you said on Oprah really hit home, and that was to make healthy choices versus what's the easiest choice.
Yeah, if what can happen very easily is that if we're not organized, we very easily default to the easy rather than the good, yes.
So my question is, where do I begin? Because I would never eat in my kitchen if it was a restaurant. I am very disorganized that way, but I'm organized in so many other ways. Like, I'm a Girl Scout leader for both of my girls' troops. And when my parents find out that I'm not organized at home, they cannot believe it. They think I'm the most organized person in the world because I do have organizational skills, but they all seem to be for my purpose outside of my house and not inside my house.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Terry, let me ask you a question. I hear a slight flutter in your voice. Is that because you are nervous or because you are upset about this?
Because I'm nervous.
Okay, that's fine. Well, don't be. I promise I'll be nice. Okay.
Well, yeah. See, that's the other thing. I know you're hard nosed.
No, come on.
Want things. You know, that is one of the biggest disappointments to me, is that I keep thinking. My goal is I want my house to be a sanctuary, and I think my husband and I are very awesome parents in many respects.
Yes.
But the one thing that I think we failed them on is our house. I mean, I don't feel like our house is a sanctuary. I feel very uncomfortable when the kids want to bring kids home from school. It's like, you know, you can't do that to me in the parking lot and at school on the way home. You can't say, can so-and-so come over, because I'm not ready, you know?
Okay, well, look, here's a couple of things. Number one, Terry, we do the best we can with what we have. So number one, stop beating yourself up. Okay, just stop beating yourself up. That's what you need to start with. Be a little gentle on yourself. That's one. And that's in your headspace. Number two, starting today, start small. My grandmother used to say, the way to eat an elephant is one mouthful at a time. Here's what you need to do. Today, stop buying stuff. Stop bringing stuff into the house. You have to do that if you want to have any permanent change. Put a moratorium on stuff unless it's essential. Then, starting today, and this is the simple thing, 10 minutes before dinner, everyone in the family grabs two trash bags. Everyone, turn the TV off. Everyone, 10 minutes. You wander around the house. How many people live in your house?
There's five of us total.
Okay, five of you. 10 minutes, two trash bags. Fill one with trash, old newspapers, torn clothing, stuff that's garbage, and the other one you put in the trash bags is stuff for goodwill. I don't care what it is. 10 minutes a day. At the end of the first week, you will have 35 bags of trash and 35 bags of stuff for goodwill. 10 minutes a day. Stop buying stuff. Two trash bags. I guarantee you that within 2 weeks, you will start to see a change.
And that sounds doable.
Okay.
Terry, do you think you can do that?
I can, and actually I want you to be able to have other callers on, but I do, you know, those are some of the things, like I say, that I do. Right now my couch is full of things that I'm giving to a friend for her daughter. I have a bag in my trunk. When I do my co-op food pickup tomorrow, there's a place that is direct help to families. You know, I do keep those sorts of things. Like, I keep running bags of things I'm giving away, but still, I still have the clutter.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's obviously still much more to be done.
It's an ongoing thing, too. You also need to get some routines in place.
I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Designate areas for things and keep it up and keep the whole family involved and you will start to see some changes. Change takes time, Terry.
Terry, thank you so much for the call, and enjoy your exercise class. I'm glad you joined in.
And I love that. Do you see that it's not that, and it really is not that simple, because mm-hmm. I don't want to be the guy who reinforces the stereotype that fat people are slobs.
Right.
I mean, and that's the stereotype, and it is wrong. It is so wrong. But it is also wrong to say that you know, you have no control over this, or it is wrong to say that this is out of our province to make a change, because you can make changes, but people need a context in which to do that.
Yeah, and just because you have clutter doesn't mean you're fat.
No, absolutely not. But again, if you're struggling with weight, stop feeling guilty and frustrated that diets are not working for you. Put that aside for a while. Just try focusing on the house and especially the kitchen for a little while. You might be surprised.
Well, yeah, if you organize what you mentioned about organizing the pantry and, yes, throwing out the cookies, that it's much easier to find your healthy choices if you're organized rather than, well, gee, I think I'll just do a takeout at McDonald's.
Well, that's
instead.
It. You know, and I joke, Joy, that the two biggest food choices in this country are the telephone and the car keys.
Mm-hmm.
Eat out and take out. Because if you wait till the moment you're walking into your house to make a food decision for that meal, you will always default to the, as Terry said, to the easy rather than the good.
Mm-hmm.
And by getting organized, it will help making the good choices the easier choices, and that's what I'm on about.
Margie in Milwaukee joins us now. Hi, Margie.
Hi. This is fascinating, mm-hmm. Peter. I'm a clinical dietitian, and I am really excited about getting your book. I can see where this is going to dovetail with a lot of information that I share with my clients.
Excellent.
You've clarified a huge roadblock for many people, and that's the clutter issue, the distraction issue, what's important to you. And I do home visits, especially
uh-huh.
especially with the elderly. And one reason I like to do that is because we get to know each other across the kitchen table.
Sure.
Which you said that's the important part of the house. And we talk about what's important to you. What are your needs? And then just as you said, then you work backwards. If this is what you need, then what's our first step to help you get there?
Yeah.
And I think it's like how so many people want to get rich with the lottery. They want something just to take care of it and all their problems are gone, as opposed to chipping away at things. You chip away at things. You make small changes that are going to be something that you can continue for a long time. And if you focus just on one part of the house and floor and put all your time and energy there, then the rest of your house can fall apart. And it's the same thing with the diet. If people focus so much on the food and the diet, then they're going to lose control of some other part of their life. And you can only do that for so long.
My point on diets is that diets are not about food. Diets are about decisions.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
And here's the deal. 46 million Americans a year go on diets, and then they almost all fail. If you had a motor car and you took it to the same mechanic 46 million times, and every time the car came back not working, is the problem you, or is the problem the mechanic? And so if you go on a diet, the inference is you then come off a diet. That's the inference.
Right.
And
that's
so
right.
The thing is, you need to construct a life that helps you make the best choices. It's about the life you live, not the food you eat. We've got it completely backwards in terms of making permanent change.
And I think decluttering our homes parallels what we need to do with decluttering our schedules.
Well, that's what the book actually mm-hmm. ties into, Margie. You know, the book is very much about house, kitchen, pantry, meal schedule, routines, shopping, because one feeds the other. That is absolutely true.
You have to start with where your priorities are.
Yeah.
I'm a single mom with four kids, but I'm a clinical dietitian, and I know these things. But when I would have kids in help after school,
be careful, Margie. You're about to expose your soul. Be very careful.
Oh, I expose my soul. I will be out there and be vulnerable because I'm human, and it's hard for all of us. And I looked, and I wasn't doing one home cooked meal a week because I was going between meetings and basketball games and soccer and blah 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 blah. And we didn't have, and we had to sit around the table and decide, okay, we're cutting back. Which program is the most important to you? Which program's the most important to you? And we had to set up a schedule that worked for the family, and we couldn't do everything. We had to make choices.
And that's another way of asking you and your family, what kind of a life do you want to be living? And if you want a life that is driven by the schedule of the family, by music practices and soccer practices, by your work, by a whole lot of external factors, if you want a life that is driven by that, then, and I don't mean this cynically, good for you, but if that life is not creating the kind of family, the kind of bodies that you want, you have to change it.
We're talking with Peter Walsh. He's an organization expert, a radio host, a regular on the Oprah Winfrey Show. He was the organizational guru on the TLC show Clean Sweep. He is also the author of several books, including his latest, Does This Clutter Make My Butt Look Fat? 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question or a comment or maybe even experience along these lines, talking in the book about strategies for decluttering various aspects of your life that directly affect you and your family's weight. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 9 o'clock, Kathleen Dunn is with you, talking with her first guest about the Florida and Michigan primaries and whether they should be redone. Should Florida and Michigan have a do-over so those delegates can be seated at the Democratic National Convention? That's coming up in our next hour. Right now, we're talking about clutter and our weight. Does This Clutter Make My Butt Look Fat? The new book by Peter Walsh. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. He's sharing with us strategies to declutter your life and lose weight. And Lisa in Glendale is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. First, I have to say your book has got to be an answer to my prayers. I have a challenge with not buying things, but the like paper clutter. Our kitchen, you had asked if I would eat in a kitchen that looked like mine. Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Our kitchen is a dumping ground for schoolwork and papers and my husband's work. Everything just gets dumped onto the kitchen table. And because we're so busy, I move it from the table into a box. And then the next day, and so I end up with all these boxes full of papers everywhere, and we don't have a dishwasher, so I have to, like, you know, find room for the dishes amongst the paper. So what I'm looking for is, how do I break that? How do we manage to not have our kitchen be a dumping ground?
I could go on for hours about this, but let me ask you a couple of very quick questions. What kind of paper? Are we talking mail, or is it business paperwork? What kind of stuff?
It's mail, it's business paper.
Okay, here's the deal. If you put washing in the washing machine and halfway through the cycle you turn off the machine and leave it for a week, what happens?
It goes bad.
Yeah, it starts to stink. Okay, that is what you're caught into. You're caught into what I call the half cycle problem. You need to set up places in your house that are centers for the different activities. One of them clearly is male, and you need to follow the cycle through. When you walk in the front door with mail, you have to immediately go through the junk mail, shred it, throw it out. You then immediately have to put the mail that needs dealing with in a mail tray or box in one area, a mail center, and that has to be dealt with immediately you walk in the front door. The problem isn't the clutter. The problem is you have no routine, and the key word in this is dumping ground.
Mm-hmm.
You have no routine for your family in terms of where things belong and where it has to go. So you walk in the front door and drop stuff on the first flat surface.
Yeah, okay. So a routine for dealing with the mail. What about the kids with the schoolwork?
The same thing. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, have you know, hooks for their backpacks. You have to have a center, you know, where they sit and do homework. But as soon as that is done, the cycle has to be completed, like the washing, so that they then have to put the homework back in their backpacks, or they have to, you know, put the paperwork away where it belongs. Because if you as a family do not agree on the function of that room, the kitchen, and follow through on those routines, you'll never ever get to a point where you have kind of the kind of kitchen that you want.
Great.
Okay, give it a shot.
All right, thank you so much.
Good luck.
Hey, thanks, Lisa.
Good luck, Lisa. Yeah, and then there's some of us who, you know, we have the blender on the counter, and then all of a sudden the George Foreman ends up on the counter, and then I have, you know, all these various coffee and tea making supplies on the counter, and that too, got to clear that stuff
off.
Well,
you know, the thing about flat surfaces in the kitchen is that flat surfaces should be seen as preparation areas, not storage areas. And especially in the kitchen, you only have the space you have. Help your kitchen to lose a little bit of weight by decluttering the space and making your kitchen a place that is inviting, welcoming, and encouraging for the kind of food prep you want to get into.
Yeah. Next, we go to John in Muscadet. Hi, John.
Well, hello there. I'm kind of concerned there. Do I have some sort of pathological problem here? I love my clutter.
What kind of clutter do you have, John?
Well, I mean, for example, I look at a picture that my granddaughter drew. It sits on the refrigerator. It makes me think of her and how much I enjoy her company. I look at a cheap little souvenir that I picked up someplace, and that makes me remember what a great time I had when I went to that place. I got a bunch of hats, and if I feel in a good mood, I'll put on a Key West hat, or maybe it'll be a Mackinac Island hat. I love my clutter.
Then John, here's the deal. Do not buy my books.
Yeah.
That's the bottom. See, here's the deal, John. There are organizers all over this country and people who will tell you how you need to live your life, how you need to set up your space. I am not that guy. The bottom line for me is, are you living the life you want? And if you are happy with your home, if you are happy with your body, and I don't care, it's not for me to tell you how to live that, but the criteria has to be, are you happy? You are. I am so thrilled for you. Do not spend money. Do not spend money on my book.
Okay. That will probably just be more clutter. But then But then I remember this great time I had talking with you on the radio.
the criteria has to be, are you living the life you want? And that's for you to decide, not for me to decide.
Yeah, what does your refrigerator look like, John?
Oh, I think it's white.
Inside.
Oh, inside?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's the usual assortment of stuff, I guess. There are a few things in there that basically were purchased so long ago that nobody remembers why.
Well, John, in the interest of public health, I would strongly suggest you at very least start with getting rid of those.
Yeah, you know, you never could tell, though. I might have a sudden craving for jalapenos.
Yeah, John, but not from 1985.
You're probably right.
Thank you very much,
and I feel much relieved.
Well, and I appreciate hearing that perspective, too. John doesn't have a problem with the stuff in his kitchen, so then there's not a problem.
And that is exactly it, Joy. Mm-hmm. And it comes down to, if you're happy with what you have, then live the life you want. But if you're struggling with that, if you can't see the way out, then maybe, just maybe, The problem is that your home, you've lost your way in your own home with your own stuff. And if that is your problem, then I'm more than happy to throw a helping hand.
Yeah. You do give us some tips about getting rid of those 1985 jalapenos, too, don't you? In terms of actually the refrigerator itself, we can a lot of us could organize that
Look,
better.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Think about this. In the morning when you get up and walk into your closet, you want to be able to quickly and easily dress the most appropriate way for that day, have your best look. And that's what a closet should do. Your kitchen and your pantry should be the same. They are the staging areas for the best look, the best meal, the best food that you can possibly prepare for your family. And so when you go shopping, you should no longer shop for food. You should shop for meals. Mm. And that's what the book also talks about, having a meal plan so that when you come home, you have in your head already what the meal will be, rather than going to the freezer drawer and finding some, you know, nutrition-less fast or convenient food or prepared food that you really don't know what's in that, or worse still, defaulting time and again to take out, you know. And so your kitchen, your refrigerator, your pantry have to all be places that are staging areas for the best meals you can possibly make.
We have a few more minutes left with Peter Walsh, author of Does This Clutter Make My Butt Look Fat? Time for your question or your comment about how clutter and weight can be related, and that if you want to lose weight and have a problem with clutter, declutter first, and that will help. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Christine in New Glarus is with us next. Hi, Christine, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Yeah, thank you for taking my call. My issue is I'm a very creative child, and I always think that I am going to hinder her creativeness by always telling her to pick up after herself. So, for instance, one of the things she likes to do is sew. So we don't have a space just for her sew machine. So when she sews, she'll like throw every, you know, she's in the middle of her creativeness, she'll throw everything here and there, so she'll end up with this big pile around her when she's done, and there's not a lot of time in the day. You have chores, homework, dinner, everything else. So I'm just wondering, do you have any ideas on how, you know, she can be creative and yet, I mean, I know it sounds silly just to have her pick up, but do you have any idea where I'm coming from?
Absolutely. I hear this constantly, Christine, especially from adults who say, no, you know, this mess reflects my creativity. And I have found time and again that actually organization feeds creativity instead of the opposite. That if you have a space where you know where things are, where you don't have to start first by clearing a space or going and finding the things you need, that actually feeds creativity,
right?
Being organized. So especially with kids, you need to, and you hinted at it, you need to have an area, a zone, a place. What's your daughter's name?
Mackenzie.
Where Mackenzie can do that particular activity, and that's sewing or painting or reading or whatever the activity is, but you have to have a designated area with zones or places for the items that she needs for that, because otherwise you end up with her associating disorganization with play and creativity, and she will take that association into adulthood. You need absolutely to set up organized spaces for her creative output, for creative activities.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You have to.
And then so she can keep that the way she wants?
Well, so that she realizes that she has one, she has personal responsibility for the stuff she uses. Two, that her space reflects the kind of activities that she's doing. Three, that at the end of that activity she can put stuff away. And you also said you find yourself having to pick up. It comes back also to what kind of a life do you want? Are you going to spend the rest of your life picking up after Mackenzie, And if that's what you want, then maintain the space as it is. But otherwise, you need to create a sense of limits, a sense of routine, a sense of organization for Mackenzie so she can learn from that and carry those lessons along with her creative genius into her life.
Christine, good luck to you. Thank you for calling. Going now to Dave in White Bear Lake, Minnesota. Hi, Dave.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, and forgive me, I'm a little nervous. Do you have any suggestions on a 50-50 household where my partner is a pack rat and I am not a neat freak but a lot closer to it than he is?
Sure, Dave. Mm-hmm. Look, here's what it comes down to. Do you guys argue about the stuff?
Oh, my, yeah. 9 years worth of arguing, yes.
Okay, well, then here's the deal. You're wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
You are totally, because this has nothing to do with the stuff. You're arguing about the wrong thing. You two have to sit down and decide what kind of a shared life you want. And then you need to ask yourself, does what we have contribute to the shared vision that we have? This is not about the stuff. This is about love, respect, mutual responsibility, shared space, a life together. And by focusing on the stuff, You are focusing completely in the wrong area. Start with the discussion about what do we want from this house? What do we want from our life together? Start there, and you'll be surprised at how the discussion, instead of being an argument, ends up being a discussion about building something together.
Thank you so much, Dave. One last call from Misa in Middleton. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to ask your caller, I know he did not mention that per se in his book, as you mentioned, but I run a household of I and four children, and I'm constantly picking up and trying to keep the house organized and making our life simpler, and I tend to be in a good shape, and everybody asks me all the time, how do you stay skinny? And I think it really plays a big role in the fact that I'm skinny, that I'm constantly moving.
Yeah, and we only have a minute to go. You do mention that in your book to some extent, is that the organizational effort itself can burn some calories, Peter
Walsh.
Yeah,
you know, I find that frequently when people have a house that reflects the life they want, that it touches, you know, their career, their spiritual life, their social life, their emotional life, and also their physical life. And as I said earlier, Joy, and you repeated it, home, head, heart, hips, they're all connected.
It was very interesting to talk with you. Thanks a lot.
Hey, as always, Joy, it's such a thrill. Thank you very much.
Peter Walsh, organization expert, radio host, regular on Oprah Winfrey, and author of Does This Clutter Make My Butt Look Fat? Thanks to Carmen Jackson and Christina Taylor for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.